All right, let's see if I can get the intro right. Coughs. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Into the Thick of It, the podcast where we discuss and dissect the ins and outs of reading and writing Harry Potter fanfiction and the world of fandom. I'm Soph.
I'm Carrie.
And I'm Eric.
Today, we have a guest with us. You probably know them as Roller Coaster Words, also known as Ray. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Hi.
Today, we're going to be discussing the recent debates and conversations around women loving women content and just female characters and the way that they are represented or not represented in this fandom and the space, and some of the issues with the way that people are going about that. But first, how's everybody doing?
I think we're all a bit tired.
It is 7:30 in the morning.
Not 7:30 in the morning for me, but...
Yeah, I'm 5 hours ahead and I probably woke up about the same amount of time ago as you guys did. I mean, that always happens, though. I wake up the same time as you guys.
I had five alarms. I slept through four of them. And then the 6:51. The 6:51 is the one that actually woke me up. And I'm so grateful for that.
That stresses me out. I got up at 4:50.
Wow.
I was nervous.
That's not even because you were nervous. That's 10 minutes earlier than you usually wake up.
Yeah, that's... Well, I got up 10 minutes earlier than I normally wake up because I was like, what if I don't wake up? So I gotta send it 10 minutes earlier.
I can't just set an alarm and get up. I set the alarm, I sleep through the alarm, and then I just scramble.
I, like, set the alarm and then I wake up before the alarm. Because, again, I'm like, what if I sleep through the alarm? So I just wake up.
I always set two alarms, and one is an hour later than the first one. And then I snooze the first one for 30 minutes, and then it runs out of snoozes. And so then I wait for the second one, and then that one goes off, and that's when I wake up.
I feel like... Yeah. That's how I feel like that. That's how you're supposed to do it.
I don't know about that.
I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do alarms.
But I feel like if you wake up and then you let yourself sleep,
yeah, you have like drifting back halfway, but then you're like closer to shore. So then when the second one goes off, you can like swim the rest of the way.
I feel like you're robbing yourself of an hour's sleep. Like I set my alarm at the last possible second. I have like 10:07 alarms, like really unhinged times where I'm like,
I can't get up right after the alarm. I need my 30-minute nap after my alarm.
Like ease into consciousness. Just like real gentle.
The world is scary out there.
Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it.
Ugh. So there has been a lot of hullabaloo recently about the amount of hullabaloo. It's a great word that should be used more often.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I feel like it's got to be worth a lot in Scrabble. I don't know how to spell it, but it's fine. So you're welcome if you're playing Scrabble and you needed a word. But there's been in the last few weeks, I mean, this is like a constant conversation in this fandom. This is not like new, but recently, because the vague idea of like shipping Harry Potter's grandfather, I think Henry Potter and some black
Radford
Black, like whiffed like into the zeitgeist, people went off and they were like, how can we be reaching so far back in history just to find more male characters to ship together when we have all these female characters that we're not doing anything with, allegedly? So we're gonna talk about it. Allegedly. Well,
Do we think that's true necessarily then?
It is, well, I think it's not an easy answer because it is true that there's more focus on the male ships, but there's also, we know more about them in canon. They are the starring roles in canon, and nobody actually gives a shit about Henry Potter Sorry.
But, like, you could also make me give a shit. Like, if someone wrote that well enough, I would care.
Like, I don't think I could handle caring about someone named Henry.
Fair.
And yeah. Someone named Ratford. At the same time, it just feels like people who write women love women content and people who don't just do not speak to each other, apparently. Like, there's absolutely no, is there no overlap? Because there's a lot of great women love women content. There's a lot of great Darlene fics. There's a lot of great, like, I've even seen some Panda Lily fics recently. It's amazing. But it's just kind of like, where is the miscommunication? Because one half of the fandom just seems like really angry and the other half of the fandom is like, we're already doing that.
But I mean, you kind of can't deny that there is more like male centric fics and there is more like,
yeah, sure. And there is,
that's not unique to this fandom either. That is like AO3 generally, like across the board.
Well, and you could also argue that it's like, it's literature generally, like across the board. Obviously that's changing and it's shifting and we're getting more female characters and we're getting more queer representation, but you know, the foundation that we're drawing from is more male focused. I think that like this is part of the problem of like when these people are setting up these critiques of the content that's being made in this space, it feels very much like it's targeted at individuals, like as though the fact that there's more male character representation or more men-loving men ships or fics is the specific fault of the creators in this space. They are specifically misogynistic and that's why this is happening, which is, you know, reducing like systemic issues to like an individual who is writing something in their free time, like as a hobby. And being like, no, this is because you are specifically morally corrupt or deficient in some way. That's why you're creating this content, which is like wild.
I feel like that really is the issue with so many of these conversations, is that they're having these conversations as if this is a form of media that's being created in a profit content. And all these conversations are happening on platforms like TikTok that are kind of operating within the social media content as a product, like, I don't know, framework way of thinking. And so then people start having these conversations about representation and misogyny, and they're essentially just setting up straw men to tear down and like get angry at, because no individual in the fandom is going to like hear this conversation and go, yeah, I've been really misogynistic for only like reading this or only writing this. Like, nobody is going to be like, oh, I'm the problem. Because nobody like is actively like reading or writing this fan fiction because they like dislike women. I mean, I think maybe there's I guess never say never. Like, maybe there are people doing that. But like, for the most part, like, nobody who's writing these stories is like purposely leaving out like female characters or purposely not writing women. They're thinking like, or we're thinking, because like I write both too. So it's like I'm interested in this character. I want to write this character. And that's the line of thought for it. And so, like, I think, like, Carrie, what you were saying, and Soph, what you were saying, with how it's like there's this background, right, in literature of there being more male characters that are fleshed out. Like, in the source material of Harry Potter, obviously, J.K. is not a feminist. So it's not like we're getting these, like, well-rounded women to write about in the first place. And so then people get more interested in the men. So it's like there's a backdrop of sexism behind everything going on, but it's not a situation where you're going to go and like seek out the misogynists and be able to like battle against them in this field of like representation, to get more representation for women, because this isn't a profit economy, this is just individuals. And so to the extent that there is misogyny, the only thing you can really do is say, hey, on an individual basis, it's a good idea to reflect and think about like why you're making the decisions you're making and whether or not you feel like you're able to relate to women as characters. And if not, why is that? But it's like something that needs to be happening internally on an individual basis. It's not a systemic issue that you can fight against in this space. And so then when people do try to make it into that, they're just creating more division and they're launching fan fiction into this profit economy, which then creates more issues. And it annoys me. It makes me mad. The end. Yeah.
I think, Ray, you were saying people are sort of making it like, I'm morally superior because I read this fic. And like, you guys all need to read it. And if you aren't reading it, then you are misogynistic, which like, potentially, like, creating a... I said potentially as if this isn't obvious. Creating a culture of shame isn't going to make anyone do anything. Like, that just, again, across the board.
Or it does make people do things for the wrong reasons. Like, it's, like, the problem with being, like, oh, I'm going to read these stories that center female characters so that I can be morally superior is that you haven't deconstructed anything, right? Like, Ray, you were saying. Like, it's, like, yeah, like, you know, think about what you're doing and think about your relationship to content and try and, you know, engage with things critically. But just going like, well, TikTok told me that this is morally correct, so I'm gonna do it and now I'm better than you. You didn't connect shit. Like, you didn't deconstruct anything. You just want to seem better than other people, which is like my whole, like, I remember it was like months and months ago, before this Harry Potter new wave of this kind of content, like, I saw people, like, on TikTok sort of starting to talk about the female characters in the Marauders fandom. And I was kind of, like, originally, like, a little bit excited, because I was like, yeah, like, when I was writing Choices, I used to get shit all the time for giving the girls points of view. Because people are like, this is so boring. This is supposed to be a Marauders fic. Like, why are you? And I was like, well, because I want to. But so when I first saw this, I was like, oh, cool. Like, I don't know, like, maybe there's the change. And all of it was just about, like, shitting on other people. Like, it was all just about, like, look at all of these fics that don't do that. And, like, sometimes specifically, it's like, look at this fic. Oh my God. And look at, you know, what this person did wrong. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This isn't helpful. This isn't the conversation I wanted.
There was, like, a big conversation about Lily, I remember, that really upset me because it was about a characterization of Lily where she didn't want to raise Harry. And, like, she kind of, like, was more of an antagonist and done really well. Like, I found there's, like, specifically a couple fics that I found that so relatable because I don't want to be a parent ever. And Lily kind of just, like, packing her shit and leaving, and maybe not doing it in the nicest way, but doing it in a way that is very, like, I'm doing this for myself. Like, people villainize that so much. It's, like, in my memory, it just made me upset because, like, we should be allowed to write women with flaws. They shouldn't be morally perfect. And, like, she was a fully fleshed out character in a lot of the fics where I was reading that sort of characterization of her. And then people were mad about it. And I'm like, what are you mad about here? That a woman is doing something you don't like? I don't know.
That's, like, the other thing that I think then is a byproduct of this kind of conversation. When you're saying we need representation and you're acting like it's all about, like, representation, as if this is being presented, as if this is being created for, like, an audience to consume and, like, internalize and learn about the world, which it's not. It's fan fiction. But then people start to get up in arms about, like, actually writing women that have flaws. And it's just like, this is the, like, you're doing a 180 here. Like, you're just going right back around to, like, sexism when you say, like, no, women are not supposed to have anything wrong with them. Like, they're supposed to be happy and good people and whatever, insert positive trait here. It's like, just because you are putting everyone into a box that's, like, painted pink with little flowers on it doesn't mean that you are not still putting them into a box. And I feel like, Eric, I think I know, like, what conversation you're talking about with, like, Lily, and that bothered me so much because it's, like, women not wanting to be mothers and, like, seeing representation of that in a story is not sexism. That is just diversity and representation of characters. And then, like, I've seen this whole conversation, too, with people talking about, like, the mean lesbian stereotype and being like, you guys are reducing Marlene McKinnon to the mean lesbian stereotype. And I'm like, okay, like, so what if I'm writing mean lesbians? Like, I'm a mean lesbian. That's what I want to see. And then, like, the other day I got a comment and someone was like, it was on one of my fics, and someone was like, I don't like Marlene because she seems, like, really petty right now and, like, really ignorant. And I was like, that's crazy. It's almost like that's a plot point. And if you read past chapter 5, you, like, might actually see where that's going. But thanks for taking the time to comment and let me know that you don't like the way I wrote the character. Like, and so it gets into this thing where then people start acting like if you're not writing, I don't know, like if you're not writing them like a Pinterest board or something, then you're just, then you're doing sexism again. And so it's like, okay, so you want female characters, like you want women, but you don't want them to be like human beings, or like what's going on here? Like you want a cardboard cutout, you want like your representation, like it just, it's really clear that I think, at least to me, that the people who are being really vocal about it in this way, where they just like get on TikTok and complain, but they don't actually like do shit to solve the issue, is the issue in quotation marks, because I don't think it is an issue. That like they don't really actually want to read about like women, because I'm like, if you wanted to read about women, you would be fine with them having flaws.
Well, and this, like, again, it's like, I think that this comes from this like not deconstructing it at all, like it's like you haven't thought about it, right? So it's like, okay, well, like we need female representation, and obviously the only good representation is like I don't know how to phrase this, like, it's like pure representation, like is like characters who are just like good. That is what good representation means. And you're like, no. And also is part of the problem, like female characters have been put like in literature in a box where they can only be, I mean, like we've all heard the
Madonna whore.
Yeah, Madonna whore. For some reason, Madonna was eluding me. But like that complex.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. And I think my age is showing because of that.
Well, it's like the female character is either like completely morally pure, or the female character is, I was going to say harlot. Like,
I mean, it's there in the name. Yeah.
Okay, I know that. I just didn't get the Madonna whore reference. I was like, huh?
Yeah, that's...
It's like English class.
No, I think the exact way that Sophie were just talking about people writing women is the way that Rowling writes bad sexist women, right? They're like either I mean, that's the thing I found so interesting about Lily, is that like the only thing we know about her in canon is that she was like a perfect mother. Like that's it, basically.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting.
She's a 20-year-old and a mother for a year.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but like every time she's spoken about, she just gets like she was kind and she was more a good mom.
But she was also like a warrior and fought in a war and was an Auror, and like
she wasn't an Auror.
She was in the Order, at least.
She's in the Order, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not so Aurors.
Like, yeah, but that's like war. Even worse, she's going she's in a rebellion, you know? Like that's kind of like.
Exactly. But like that, again, like inferred, but we don't really get like any of that. And so I find it really interesting that people are so mad about her being a bad mother and having that complexity in that way. I mean, again, it's a totally different thing to be like, hey, maybe Lily's getting pushed aside to make room for Regulus as a general theme. But it's a totally different thing to like come after specific fics, especially when they've actually got quite a lot of nuance and are doing it quite carefully. I mean, coming after specific fics anyway is just don't do that. Just stop it. I hate it. I don't want to see it ever again. Because that's not how you tackle a systemic issue for a start. And it's not how you tackle something that's like potentially an issue in a community. Like attacking individual people that are... I mean, we said this before. We said this in our... a couple of episodes ago when I was talking about critiquing fanfic in the same way you critique Marvel movies, that are creating culture. Fanfic is not creating culture. It is reflecting culture, or it is not got a wide-reaching audience, and it hasn't got like this big room. You know when you see something in a movie and you're like, how did that make it through whatever boardroom it needed to make it through at this stage?
Yeah.
This is just one person who's got like a whole different life. Anyway, sorry, I went off on a rant that we've done a whole episode about.
But people need to hear it again.
People always need to hear it again. But yeah, what I was saying was the female characters, and I'm super, super interested in. And like Hermione is, I mean, she's got like a few flaws, but you really have to look for them. Most of the time she's like the person that is just perfect. And especially the movies do that. Like she's just got everything sorted and she's got her shit together and she hasn't got like one single flaw. And that's bad writing for women, not actually giving them flaws.
And, like, her flaws are often based in J.K. Rowling's misogyny.
I like when Molly just starts treating Hermione like shit because of the stuff that... And that's acceptable, like, or, like, they all treat Fleur like shit. And, like, to be fair, J.K.R. also treats Fleur like shit. Yeah. Like, we have the Triwizard Tournament, and there's, like, one girl, and she sucks at everything mm-hmm. and constantly needs to be rescued. Mm-hmm. Like, goddamn.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, the way that J.K.R. wrote, like, Umbridge, Bellatrix, Rita Skeeter, like, all the evil women are very much, like, caricatures of sexist stereotypes and tropes. So... it's like, it's not even really that subtle. Like the sexism is just, I don't know. It's like it's in the text. It's there. And you have to like work around it if you're going to write these characters.
Well, and I think Lily is especially irritating to me in the text because it's like, she's like so good that she like saves all these men around her, right? Like that's the whole thing. It's like,
she's a refrigerator woman. She's you guys know that refrigerator, term? Refrigerator woman. It's like, it's when a woman dies for the development of the plot or the character of male characters around her. That's Lily. Like, literally, that's what she is.
And it's so like when they demand that these female characters then have no flaws, like it is like, yeah, the reason that no one's interested in them is that they are written either as like so flawed that they're completely unlikable, or they have no flaws, in which case, like, how boring. Like, why would I want to read about, like, you actually don't want to read about that. I guarantee you. That's why you think these characters are boring, because they've been presented to you in this way. Like, the male characters are interesting because they're full of flaws.
I love writing Lily Evans as a lesbian simply because it takes away literally literally her entire character in canon is destroyed by that one change. And that's why it's just such an interesting like character to write, because like you get to kind of build her up and like take what you know about her that isn't laced with the men centered that she's like centered around, like James, and even like in the film's Remus, like you kind of get to like take the little bits. Like she was in the order, and she was probably pretty good at school. She was muggle-born and in Gryffindor, and you kind of get to like reshape her character centered around herself and when you're writing from that perspective in like a really cool and unique way. And also just like writing lesbians is fun.
Yeah, I feel like writing the queer characters, like apart from that we want to write about and read about queer characters, it does kind of allow you to sidestep the power imbalances that come with like heterosexual relationships generally. Like, and obviously working to deconstruct that is great. And if you want to do that work, go for it. But like when I'm tired, like it, you can just kind of exist in a little bubble that is like outside of that.
Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it.
Ugh.
I mean, it totally, like, the problem is, like, it totally depends on, like, context and, I mean, context and people, right? Like, this is an interesting conversation to have. What is infuriating is the way that it's being had and the way that TikTok specifically works and presents discussion, which is not a discussion. It's just, like, the most inflammatory statement you can make. And if you disagree with it, then you're morally wrong. And like, even how can you disagree with it? Because like, are you in the comment section where you're limited to like what, like 20 words? How are you going to in any way tackle anything meaningfully in your like 60 second video? And it almost becomes like a trend, right? Like if you see enough of them in a row, they almost say identically the same thing. Like they have no new points to bring up. And they're always yelling at the Marauders fandom. Like, the Marauders fandom this, the Marauders fandom that. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Who the fuck are you? Like, this space is made by the people in it. So if you don't like it, like, you're the problem. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, who are you blaming?
Yeah, yeah. I fully saw someone say yourself. That today. And then at the end, they were like, oh, you know, it's probably hypocritical of me. And I'm like, well, yeah, what? Like,
I feel like that really is what makes so much of the conversation feel really hollow to me. Because, again, it's like, if this was a TV show, if this was like, I don't know, a published book, like, if this is something where you are having to go through these, like, publishing houses, these, like, Hollywood studios to get it made, then yeah, it can be useful to complain about representation, because if somebody's making money off of something and they see that there's an audience that wants a thing, then that's a market that's open and they can go get it. But fan fiction doesn't work that way. So it's like, talking about it in those terms in the first place is not useful or productive. All it does is create this weird division. But then there's a solution. It's like, you're literally, you are the fandom. And the solution, if you feel that there are not enough fan fictions about, like, your favorite lesbians or your favorite women or whatever, is to write it or go and find some and read it, or, like, support the people writing it. Like, that's literally the solutions that you have in front of you. And so when people are just making these videos complaining, I'm just like, you guys are really not, like, it feels hollow to me, because I'm like, there's a solution there, but it seems like you just want to get attention by saying something on the internet that will make people angry and feel like, oh yeah, let me agree with you, because that's how the internet works, right? Like, it shows you shit that'll make you angry so that you'll interact with it, you'll get more views, you'll get more comments. Then half the people who are like, oh my god, we need to support, like, we need to share. It's like, the amount of TikToks I've seen this week that I just have had my writing and nothing, and just like, okay, great, you guys are killing the sexism, you guys are doing it, this is really feminist right now to, like, take people's writing and post it for views. And so it's like, that's the kind of stuff that ends up happening. Or the whole thing with, like, recommending fan fictions and, like, prefacing it by going, like, down with sexism, down with Harry Potter. It's like, I mean I can't speak for anybody else whose fics get recommended in those videos, whatever, and, like, obviously it's like, shout out to people who like my writing enough to recommend it, like, thanks. But I'm like, I don't want to be put in context of a conversation where you're like, go find your lesbian representation. I'm like, this is not your, like, lesbian representation. Like, that's not what this is for you. And if you're going to, like, my stories that I'm writing just because I want to write them, and you're, like, looking for to be, like, represented by it, like, I don't know. I feel like half the people on TikTok are going to be disappointed and angry about it, and then leave me comments and go, I don't like how you wrote Marlene. And I'm like, okay, great. So it's just like, the people who complain about this aren't actually doing shit to solve it. And then half the time they're making it worse. And honestly, most of the time they're making it worse, even if they're not doing stuff like posting uncredited writing, even just like having the same conversation in the same way. Because you're reinforcing the idea that we should be viewing fan fiction as a profit economy and as content that's being created for an audience. And then that falls back on the people writing these fan fictions, who then get shit for doing things in their own stories. And people are like, how could you represent the character that way? And it's like, well, the answer to that is that I wanted to write this character and read it that way. And if you did not want to read the character doing this, then you can not read it. And, like, that's fine. So it just is like one horrible little snake eating its tail over and over and over again, and, like, poisoning everybody else along the way. And it just frustrates me to no end.
Well, so I was thinking about what you were saying earlier about someone saying that Marlene was like a stereotype mean lesbian. And I'm wondering what that even means in a story where there are other lesbians. Because, like, if you have stories where you've got, like, one stereotype character, and that character is the lesbian, and they are, like, this one thing and only this one thing, then that is what that is. It's being reduced to, like, one characteristic. There's no depth. It's just a stereotype. But, like, when you have a fully fleshed out character, and sometimes you can even, like, use those stereotypes to, like, play with it a little bit. Like, that's, a lot of the time, that's a good thing. And if you have other lesbian characters that aren't like that, then you're not playing into any kind of stereotype. So I think people see something where they're like, oh, if this character has a stereotype associated with them, then they can never have that quality again. I feel like that feminine gay men have that a lot as well. It's now like, gay men can never be feminine because otherwise you're playing into a bad stereotype. Even if you've got six other gay characters that aren't like that, they can never be like that ever again.
I was literally talking to my sister about this the other day because it's really ironic, honestly, when people do that, when they say, oh, you can't write the character that way because it's a stereotype. Because the point of stereotypes is that it's taking certain traits, assigning them like negative qualities. Like, in and of itself, being a quote unquote mean lesbian, I mean, I feel like that's a whole other thing to get into. But like, the reason a lot of lesbians are seen as mean are just because lesbians don't cater to the same social norms that a lot of other people do. And that's not a negative thing. But then people call it being mean and they create a negative stereotype. And then same thing with like feminine gay men. Like, there's nothing wrong with being feminine, but it's assigned this negative connotation and then turned into a stereotype where people say this is a negative thing and all gay men are like this and you don't want to be this thing because we've told you it's negative. So then when people come in and they say, oh, you can't write the character that way, that's a stereotype, all you are doing is reinforcing the idea that this is a negative trait to have. So by doing that, you are ironically doing the exact same work that the stereotyping is doing, but you're acting like it's somehow progressive. And it just makes me like question your reading literacy if you're a person who does that, because you should be able to know when you're reading a character whether or not they're a stereotype. Like, you should be able to think about that and figure that out for yourself based on the way the character is presented in the context of the story, whether or not they have like fleshed out traits and like multiple characteristics, and then also just like based on how those characteristics are presented. Like, if somebody is writing a feminine gay man and they're like presenting it in a really negative light that is clearly like a homophobic stereotype, I feel like that is kind of obvious. Like, I feel like you should be able to recognize homophobia if you're seeing it. So it just is like such a ridiculous conversation in the first place to have. And all it does is then alienate people who fit those stereotypes, because you're basically saying, you're bad gay representation. And it's like, okay,
yeah,
great. Love that for me.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said, like, it's like they reduce, like they are reducing the characters and you're like, what?
Yeah.
I find it interesting that a lot of this, this is just an inside thought that I want to put on the outside. And as we were speaking about this, I was also thinking about how applicable this conversation is to writing autistic characters. Because like the straight face, like no empathy autistic character is like kind of similar, where it's like, well, that's bad. And it's like writing autistic characters who don't have like express facial expressions is not bad. What's bad is you thinking that they're not empathetic because they don't express. Sorry, that was just like,
no, yeah, any conversation about the stereotyping, it's like the issue is the negative association with those traits. And then also, if there's no diversity in the representation, like if you're portraying a group of people as a monolith who all share the same characteristics, again, it's like you should be able to read a story and use like your critical thought and determine whether or not that's what's going on. And not base your conclusions on like a tweet or a TikTok that somebody else has made.
Well, and I also think going back to like what you said about like you should be able to recognize homophobia, I think that one of the problems that's coming out of this new kind of culture of like internet trolling, where what they're using is this kind of like political, like social justice language, is that now things are being called homophobic that are not homophobic, and people are no longer able to make the distinction. Like these words are starting to lose meaning.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, because things are homophobic. Like, homophobia does exist, and when you just start like calling people you don't like homophobic, like, no. Because then those words, they lose their power, and people lose the ability to identify when things are actually an issue. And that can be dangerous.
Yeah, I agree.
I do have some empathy for some people who don't really know how to have these conversations yet because they're young, or because they don't necessarily know how to like critically read texts. So it's kind of like, yeah, we're not taught, maybe. Like, this is an education issue, it's a social media issue, it's a lack of understanding. And so I if you kind of are existing in that state of like, you don't really know how to critically read text. You don't really know how to have these conversations, but you want to. And I think that that's something that's still like good, because there are so many fandoms that don't even try to have these conversations. And at least there's some people who are like, they might be doing it, going about it the wrong way, and they may need to like learn a little, but it's just kind of like, I respect that there are people who are trying to have this kind of conversation. But I think that, yeah, that's kind of why we wanted to like talk about it again.
I totally agree, because like the internet obviously is like part of this problem generally, but like I'm not gonna pretend that, I mean, I didn't have quite the same like internet culture when I was younger, but like when you suddenly realize that the world is horrible, that is really, really scary, and you get it's like really overwhelming, and you get really angry, and like it probably feels a lot easier to target that anger at like one specific person or one specific like individual doing something wrong, because you kind of feel like you can maybe fix it a bit more than just like patriarchy. You know, like if I yell at this one person and they apologize or something, then like I feel like maybe I've done something good, but like it's actually potentially making everything worse. When you've got all that like anger and feeling or whatever, like it's really hard to kind of know where to put your energy and where to direct it. But like individuals writing fan fiction, I'm maybe going to suggest is not the best use of that.
Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it. Into the thick of it. Ugh.
And I think there's another side to this conversation that's like, who should be writing certain kinds of representation? And like, that ends up getting into this territory of like, you deciding how gender can be expressed and how sexuality can be expressed.
It kind of then comes down to like, you can't write a character with, you know, race, gender, ethnicity, disability that is not your own experience. And then it's like, what, you want me to write just characters that are exactly like me? Because then that would be the opposite problem, right? But then I've seen people be like, oh, actually, I do have this experience. Like, I don't know why you're coming at me and assuming that, like, that everybody that writes fanfic is, like, exactly the same type of person.
Especially when you're talking about gender, that's something that, I mean, first of all, you're really not entitled to any personal information about anybody writing fan fiction. So you're not really entitled to know their gender, their sexuality, anything like that in the first place. But in the second place, even if you do somehow know like the identity of the person writing the fan fiction, and you're like 100% sure you know that identity, there's no guarantee that identity is going to remain static throughout their life. You don't know what they're exploring about themselves, their gender, their sexuality. You don't know if their identity might change. And then even if you like somehow know, like this is their identity, it's not going to change, that still tells you nothing about like the body they inhabit, which is what I feel like a lot of these conversations end up coming back to, and why a lot of them lead back to gender essentialism, is because people will say, oh, you shouldn't write somebody who has a type of relationship, or a lot of times it gets into like sex and the conversation about fetishization, and people will say, you shouldn't write this kind of sex if you're not having it. And I'm like, even if you know a person's gender identity and their sexuality, you still don't know what kind of body they have. You still have no idea what kind of sex they're having. And that's, again, not information that you're entitled to. And so it just seems like, I mean, it seems like a conversation that is starting on a premise of gender essentialism. And I have yet to have anybody give me any, like, anything that does not lead back to that. Like, I've talked about this on Tumblr before, and I've had people, like, have conversations with me on, like, kind of both sides that have been very respectful, because if people are not respectful, I just block them. But it's like, I always see these conversations about, you know, we need to write characters with this gender. You can't write characters who have this gender, this sexuality, this identity, eventually leading back to gender essentialism. And like, I guess to tie it back to like the whole conversation about WLW fan fiction and like writing lesbians, I feel like a lot of the conversation that people are having about sapphic representation is also starting to get into a place of gender essentialism, because it's not really rooted in any sort of like material reality or like I guess in the context of a fictional story, it's not rooted in any kind of story. It's rooted in this focus on labels, right? So people will say, we need more women, we need more women. And they will talk about it as if womanhood or girlhood or sapphicness is this like defined pre-existing entity that is absent from fan fiction, that is missing. And the reason it gets back to that is because a lot of these people don't actually care about stories. Like when I see people saying, oh, I want more like Doraline / Panda Lily / Mary Lily, whatever, like we'll just put a list of sapphic ships or whatever. It's like, what? Like, that tells me nothing. Like, what do you want to see? Are these characters all interchangeable to you? And then what is the only factor that's tying them together is, like, womanhood. It's like, okay, great. I like, mm-hmm. when people say, oh, we need more fan fictions about girlhood, I'm like, that tells me nothing about what you want to read. Because girlhood is not an existing predefined entity. It is a socially defined construct that's going to be different for everybody. And so, like, I have more sympathy for people who say things like, oh, I really want to see this specific story about this character, or I really want to see this story about this character. And I'm like, or if somebody says, like, I want to see more, like, stories about this experience that a lot of women have, or like, I want to see this story about this experience a lot of lesbians have, like, that to me makes more sense. But when I just see people having this conversation that gets boiled down to, we need more women, we need more girls, we need more sapphics, I feel like a lot of it starts to stray back into gender essentialism, because it starts to treat like womanhood as this ingredient missing. And I'm like, I don't know. It just is such a weird way to think about it, because I'm like, some of these stories about lesbians are not going to feel like representation or something that resonates with me. And some of these stories about gay men are going to be something that I do feel represented by, which, I mean, part of that is that I don't have a strong attachment to gender. So it's like, okay, guess I win this one. But, you know, but it's like, you know, still, if you do have like a really strong attachment to like womanhood or girlhood or your conception of it, you can still talk about like specifically what you want to see without acting as though this is some, I just keep saying pre-existing entity, but that's like the only word I can think of to describe it, you know?
So. Yeah, that, yes, thank you for going where I was trying and failing to go. But it was like, it's this idea of like, okay, like once we start demanding like representation, like you're deciding like what good representation looks like, which for gender, I feel like it is like such a weird and impossible thing that ends up becoming very reductionist and ends up becoming this like weird, you know, I think, right, you said this, like, it's like a deification of, like, femininity.
Yeah.
Like, this, like, it becomes this weird, I don't relate, like, I don't relate to that. That doesn't represent me. And this idea that, like, gender can only be expressed in these very specific ways and in these very specific, you know, stories or characters. And I think it's a lot more fluid than that. And I think that, like, there's lots of ways in which the way I relate to gender is going to, I can express that better through male characters. And then there's lots of ways that I can express it through female characters, but it's not so cut and dry. Like these experiences, they bleed into one another. So then again, like, yeah, this conversation ends up it like going somewhere that like starts to make me feel uncomfortable in the way that we're talking about gender and the way that we're defining like, what the female experience look like, or like what girlhood looks like, or like all of that stuff. You're like, I don't know.
No, yeah, like 100%. I agree. It just, I mean, it's gender essentialism is what it, and it's like, you can tell when it's gender essentialism, because when it's not, it's somebody who actually like has more specific information, or like actually wants to see a story, or is actually,
yeah,
like reading and writing and like actually doing things to see the quote unquote representation that they want. Like, which is why I'm like, I think this whole conversation would be more productive if we shifted, not that this is ever going to happen, because I'm not going to wade into the weeds on TikTok, but it would be more productive if it was shifted from this hyper fixation on labels and like this focus on just semantics, and instead was a focus on experiences. Like, I don't know, like, okay, example, with like, I have my fan fiction I wrote about Narcissa and Alice, and I'm like, I didn't write that because I was like, I want to see more women. Like, it wasn't that broad, because that's not enough to go off of. Like, that's not enough to make a whole story, to be like, let me write about women. But I did write it with a very specific focus on women, because I was like, I really want to explore patriarchy in pure blood culture, and like, it has a lot to do with womanhood in the story, because I was like, that's what I'm interested in exploring. But that's like a specific experience tied to gender in that context that I was like, I'm not getting this from fan fictions with like the main focus on men, because that is a specific experience. It's rooted in like, I don't know, like material reality of like what people experience and why gender does hold importance and meaning. But like, when you're just boiling gender down to words, then it doesn't have any meaning. Or if it does, then like we disagree on some fundamental things, you know? Yeah. So it's just like, the whole conversation is stupid. That's my conclusion.
Yeah, I found that really interesting. Stupid. I found it really interesting when you said that they like don't even discriminate between the ships, just like Lily and whoever, and like Mary and whoever, and like, surely if you were seeing these characters with like nuance, then you would have some sort of preference over who you liked and who you didn't like and who you wanted to see. But I don't know if that's because there isn't enough in the sort of character lore to like, for them to have any kind of fixed personality. So like, it's how you write it, or if that's like because you're just seeing them, like you said, as this kind of like homogenous group where you can just kind of put them with anyone.
Okay. I'm like a huge Pantalily shipper, and I'm also a huge Mary Lily shipper, and like, but also I'm a huge Mary and Pandora shipper, and I think I'm just obsessed with the three of them. Like, I just love them all so much, and I think that like their dynamic as like three like very, very different characters is just so interesting, and I'm obsessed with it. And like, I like Dorleen, but like, I don't know where I was going with this, but you said that and I was like, I'm like wondering if I'm now feeding into that, or if I'm just really obsessed with these three characters.
Yeah, I think you can also like
with all of them
pair people with different people. Like, you don't have to keep them with like one person the whole time. Like, I think you've got like a really defined idea of these characters in your head. Like, I'm not sure I've met anyone that's got more of a defined idea.
I mean, Eric, you like you write fan fiction with them, so like clearly you actually feel like these characters are like fleshed out in your mind.
I have exactly one piece of fan art that is Pandora and Mary, and I'm obsessed with it. I don't know who made it. I will never probably find out who made it, because I found it on Pinterest. But if and there's so few Mary and Pandora fics, and I'm writing a Mary and Pandora fic that will probably never see the light of day, but I just want everybody to know that I'm obsessed with these two, and if you ship them together, then you're my favorite human beings on the planet.
Please send Eric some Mary and Pandora art. Thank you.
I made a whole PowerPoint slide about it.
Oh, true. But yeah, I think it comes back to like, it's not that you have to like only want like one set of characters together, but it's just that like, why do you want these two characters together, right? Like, and it can be any, like, you know, like there, like who cares about canon, and also there is no canon. Like, you can make up the reason, but it's like, is the reason just so that you have two women together, or is the reason that like you want to explore this dynamic, or you want to explore this story? I mean, I think Lily and Mary are interesting because obviously they're outsiders, right? And so whenever you're pairing them with, well, I mean, it doesn't have to be purebloods, but you can play with that dynamic, right? Like the outsider and the insider, and that can take whatever form you want it to take. Automatically, tension, like that's interesting to me. You can explore a million different stories with that, right? But if it's just like, it doesn't matter, because as long as there's women, then we can check that box. Then it's like, again, you didn't connect shit. Like, what was achieved here? Nothing.
Literally nothing.
We have not moved forward.
I find Mary and Pandora interesting because, I don't know if that was where this was going, but it's where I'm taking it. because, like, Pandora is so, like, I love her, but she's, like, a head in the clouds. Like, every characterization of her is so, like, she is, like, sunshine, and she's, like, rainbows and butterflies, and I feel like Mary is kind of so the opposite, and she's so grounded and focused, and, like, she has her, like, goals, and, like, it, or even not even that, she's just, like, so social, and she, like, has such understanding of like the real world and like social dynamics, and Pandora just absolutely does not. But I think that when you put them together, like, I don't know, I have this like one shot idea where it's like Pandora is like looking for pretty rocks by the river, and Mary's on her way to Quidditch practice, and Pandora's just like, Mary, come help me look for pretty rocks. And Mary just like cannot, like, he does not get it. And like Pandora's just like, no, look at this one. It's quartz. And I don't know why. I don't know where I was going with that. It's still so early and I'm getting hungry for breakfast, but it's just such a cute image. And I don't know how people aren't obsessed with like them as like that dynamic.
No, see, but I feel like this is actually a really good example of another thing with the, like, the girls as characters, though, because, like, I conceive of Pandora in, like, a completely different way. Like, your Pandora is, like, a whole different character from, like, the way I imagine her. Because to me, I'm like, Pandora is not Sunshine. She's, like, a little bit evil and a little bit fucked up always, and that's, like, the only thing that remains consistent in the way I imagine her, which is, like, obviously, it's cool that those two completely different characterizations can exist, and it's because there's so little information. But I feel like this is also another reason why, when people are like, well, why does nobody care about these characters? Why is no one interested? It's like, it's because they're a single sentence. And I say someone, I say that as somebody who has written so many words about these characters who are single sentences. So I'm like, I get it. Like, I understand taking those characters and like turning them into your characters, but it just seems obvious to me why there's not more people interested, because not everybody wants to do that. Like, not everyone is going to read a single sentence and say, yeah, like, let me sit down and spend hours thinking about this character and like making them up in my head, you know. And so I feel like that's another reason why people be like, well, why is this not more popular? Like, why is everyone so interested in the boys all the time? And it's like, it's one of those reasons where it's like, there's no, it's like a neutral ground. Like, there's not anything good or bad about it. The only thing to talk about with sexism there is just, again, the background sexism of like JKR not writing women, you know?
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like, well, clearly it's because there's just not as much information. And so not only are you going to have a lot more varied characterization across these stories, right, where like somebody else's version of a character might not be one that you want to read about, but you're also just not going to have as many people who care about spending the time developing those characters. And that's fine, because it's literally fan fiction, and nobody needs to spend time turning these characters into like fully fleshed out OCs, you know. It's like, it's a hobby, it's not a job. Yeah. And it's not going to destroy sexism as we know it if you like sit down and create a character for Emmeline Vance, you know. Like, that's just a fun time for you. Like, that's kind of the end of the deal there.
Yeah. I mean, as we're talking about the one sentences, I will say the most interesting sentence J.K. Rowling ever wrote in her like small meaningless life is that Dorcas Meadows, Voldemort killed her personally.
So true. 100% agree.
Backstory right there. But I also think, and not to, because then I think that the argument that gets brought up there is that there's lots of male characters who have then been picked up who only have like one sentence or less. And I, not to defend.
No, play devil's advocate. Do it.
I'm not, well, but I do just want to point out that it's like, it doesn't come out of a vacuum. Like, you get Jegulous, where you have the Marauders very well established, and you have James, and like obviously you have Regulus, who's not as well established, but he's quite connected to our main group.
And he does. He gets and a then, whole backstory that was not needed in that book at all. Like,
I know, a pointless, useless backstory.
And so much.
Who knows why it didn't get cut? Totally irrelevant, does nothing but cause minor inconveniences in an already stressful situation. Thank you so much, Regulus. But you get Jegulous, right? And then in a lot of Jegulous fics, you have Evan and Barty. And so as we're reading Jegulous, we start to get attached to Evan and Barty, and it's not the canon that we're attached to, it's the fanon. And that's where that comes from. And so then that's a little bit where, like, again, it's like, I don't really give a shit about Rosekiller, but like when people are like, well, how could you just like these guys that came out of nowhere? And you're like, but they didn't come out of nowhere. Like, we literally built them. Like, they were in these stories. And then people were like, oh, now I would like to see them. So it's like, And this is why, like, so more of the Marauders, the more that the Marauder stories incorporate and give the female characters, like, real plot lines and, like, real things, the more you're going to see fan art and, like, fan fiction spur on from that, because that's how we're going to get to know them. But anyways, I just feel like Rose Killer, for some reason, is, like, always being brought up. And I'm like, yeah.
I will find new ways to write the death, maim, and torture of
Bakugan. I knew it. Someone brings up Bakugan even tangentially and we're on a rampage.
I just need to, every time, I just need to say how much I hate him.
I love it. I support you, Eric. I'll join the hate club on that one.
You know what? I don't even feel that strongly about Barty, but I do feel the need to fight you.
I know, that's the thing. This has been like such a weird evolution, because I actually don't give a shit about this character except in like specific situations. So then it's like when you start going after him in specific stories, I'm like, whoa, not that one though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
KYD Barty is the best.
I just don't like him. I think it's just a personal vendetta. The only fake that I don't feel the need to go after him is Art Heist Baby. Yeah. I've said this so many times. Everyone who knows me is so sick of hearing it, and I will never stop saying it. I'm sorry.
That's fair.
I choose to be annoying.
Oh, he's so, you know what? It's fine. Whatever. It's KYD is the most sympathetic he's ever been. Baby. He's ever been.
This is gonna tear us apart. I don't know. I like him in Crimson River. I keep saying, okay, yeah, but
in terms of like sympathetic to his flaw, like you gave him like trauma, you know, like Crimson River's Barty is good fun. Like he's just fun.
He was good fun.
It is definitely at least a little bit because his name is Barty. Like it is at least, like call me shallow, but his name is Barty. I can't. He does not deserve to be written in fiction.
So fair.
It's a dumb name.
Speaking of names, sorry, just on that note, I genuinely think the only reason that Evan Rozier ever became popular is because his last name is Rozier. Like, I feel like there, like if his name was something different, it would have been a different one of those random, like, Death Eaters picked, and we would all be talking about, like, one of them. But I genuinely think it's just the fact, Rozier, that's it. That's what made him popular.
Because we don't know his age at all, right? Like, he could have been way older than
him. We don't know anything about him. I mean, to be fair, no. We do know a lot about Barty in some respects. Yeah, he actually does have a whole plot line, so...
He's a great actor and a good teacher. That's all we know.
Which is interesting. But yeah, Evan, like, Evan's fucking a line.
We know one thing about Evan, and it's that Evan took out Mad-Eye's eye and then died. Which
is interesting.
More interesting than fucking Barty Crouch Jr.,
but, like, not that interesting.
I totally forgot who Evan was in canon until he died in Choices. And I was like, oh, fuck, that was him?
Well, why would you know? I don't even know why. I was just choosing random fucking names. Like, they weren't even a thing then. And then people were like, and now it really creeps me out. Okay, we're so off topic, whatever, we can cut things. But it's like, it really creeps me out when people, like, start to, like, when the Rozier feelings creep into Choices.
No.
I'm like, no. Like, don't talk about these characters this way. I feel like I sent you a TikTok the other day where someone was, like, talking about, like, I don't know, like Barty and Choices or something. And they were like, oh,
no,
poor guy. And I was like, no, it's the wrong story. It's just, like, the wrong story.
That is where the hatred is absolutely justified. You, director over there, Eric, like, absolutely.
Don't let it bleed into the other universes. Like it's totally fine somewhere else.
I mean, Evan does have a bit more sympatheticness, is not a word, to him in Choices than Barty does.
But still, like, the baby girlification needs to have some lines. And it's just, like, don't... There have to be limits. They can't be.
There must be limits.
See, I don't understand the baby girlification. I figured it out recently. Okay, podcast listeners, you have to know, when we had the, like, meeting to, like, discuss the outline, I mentioned that I don't understand the baby girlification thing at all, and I figured it out since then, and it is only applicable to Fox Mulder in X-Files.
Oh my gosh, X-Files.
Yeah, just... Only Fox Mulder.
Baby girlification and here with Eric.
Eric to the X-Files. You've just gone now. You're never coming back.
You're never coming back.
If I ever do write a long fanfic, I've decided it's going to be a Marauders X-File crossover.
Excellent. Oh, is it going to be a crossover, or is it going to be like a...
AU.
Or an AU.
Think about okay. it. I guess
oh my god, yes.
World building. And it's a slow burn, and I love writing slow burns. It is the longest slow burn I've ever taken part of. We don't get a kiss until season 7 in X-Files.
Spoilers.
Spoilers.
It was created in the...
From the 1990s.
I was going to say the 1900s.
Even worse.
Carrie's going to quit. Yeah.
You are older than me.
Yeah, but I'm youthful. All right, well... That was a good episode. Yeah. I feel like we covered a lot.
It was amazing.
You know,
had a good time.
For the most part, we stuck to the outline, which is pretty impressive for us. Crap, what do we do here?
Who are you?
Yeah. Just say my information.
Who am I? What have you done with your life?
It's too early. It's who too early you? In the morning.
It's both philosophical and factual.
And factual and practical. All right. I'm Soph. I'm Messamoon on AO3 and Little Shit Soph on Tumblr, and there's dashes in there and you can figure it out or you cannot, that's fine. Carrie, who are you?
I am Carrie. CarrieLouise_22 on TikTok, CarrieLouise22 on Tumblr, and BerryLou22 on AO3.
No one's gonna ask me who I am.
Yeah. You wanna go? Who are you?
Eric, we know you know who you are.
Marty Crouch Hater, number one.
I think you should change. Yeah. You should change your Tumblr username to Barty Couch.
It would make you really popular.
It would make you. Your inbox would be a joy.
But I am Eric_readsbooks on TikTok and AO3, and then I'm Eric-readsbooks on Tumblr, and that is why I am.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Who are Ray, you? Who are you?
Ray? I'm Ray. Rollercoaster Words on Tumblr and AO3. Cringing at having to say that, but it is the truth.
It's not bad.
I know it's not bad.
Mine will have 22 on the end of it for reasons that I can't remember.
Yeah, at least I don't have random numbers on there. Thank God for that, I guess.
Yeah, sorry.
And always, if you have any questions, comments, if you maybe want to be on an episode, you can email us, one day, I'll get that right, at intothethickofit@gmail.com, and we'll see you next month.
Yay!
Bye!
Bye!